Well, beginning of John's Gospel, and straight off the bat, John tells us very clearly there was a beginning to everything. There was a start. Everything we can see, taste, touch, smell around us had a beginning. Now, you'll remember, some of you, that it's more or less in our lifetime that science has said that there was a beginning. Before I was born in the late 1940s, and certainly when I was in school, all the way through my school years, the prevailing scientific mood was that there was no beginning. The universe had always been there. But in the late 1940s, there was this new theory, which gradually has become more popular, more and more popular, called the Big Bang, or labeled the Big Bang Theory. But of course, when the Big Bang Theory came into existence, as it were, there was a problem for the atheists. The atheists liked the old view, because the old view said that there was the Bible. Bible said there was a start. The old view said, no, science says there was no start. So there was this huge difference. But now there was a problem for the honest atheist. If the Big Bang Theory is true, then it agrees with the Bible that there was a sudden, dramatic start to everything. And in the late 70s, there was a great program on TV called Cosmos. Professor Carl Sagan, I videotaped it, and I showed it to my sixth form classes probably for a dozen years after that. In the program, Carl Sagan was saying that he could catalogue, you know, what happened, planets, stars, whatever, all the way back to a fraction of a second after the so-called Big Bang. But a Christian wrote to Sagan asking, can you go back a bit further then? What actually happened at the Big Bang and what was there before the Big Bang? And Sagan very wisely said, I don't want to go there. And I can understand he didn't want to go there because he was out of his depth. He couldn't intelligently speak on anything before that or actually at the point of the Big Bang. Now, some years ago, there was a debate in Oxford University between a Christian mathematician, John Lennox, and an atheistic biology professor, Richard Dawkins. And John Lennox began with this kind of thing. In the beginning, the first four words of the Bible in Genesis, in the beginning, God. First five words, in the beginning, God created. And Hebrews 11 says the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen, what we can see, was not made out of what was visible. In other words, God created out of nothing. That was how John Lennox began his debate. And quoting John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, Dawkins' sarcastic response was, I don't need to resort to magic to explain the universe. Okay, you understand where he's coming from. Later, there was question time, and Melanie Phillips, a reporter, journalist who's worked for The Guardian, The Observer, The Spectator, and The Times, asked Professor Dawkins, did he believe the universe could actually suddenly appear out of nothing? Yes, said Dawkins. And she paused, she stared him in the face, and she said, magic? Do you get it? You get it? Now, in John chapter 1, we're introduced to someone who's there at start, Almighty God. But we're introduced to somebody else who's also there at the start with Almighty God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, and then if you read all the way down the chapter, it's pretty obvious. You've got this man, John the Baptist, comes. He's pointing to this one who's come, the Word. And if we read on further down the chapter, it's obvious the Word is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You follow John's argument? Yeah, there was a beginning, and somebody was there at the beginning. Almighty God. But hang on, there was somebody else there at the beginning who was with Almighty God and was also Almighty God. Pretty clear. Do you understand it? Of course you don't. Who can understand that? It's mind-blowing, isn't it? But then, just really to punch it home and make it easier for us to understand who this Word is, the text goes on, through him, the Word, who's there at the beginning with God, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. And so we have this picture. There's this one who's different from Almighty God, and yet he is Almighty God. And we have a situation where everything that was made by him. So we have like a blank sheet of paper with a line down the middle, a thick line down the middle, if you like, and we write on the left everything that was made, you know, birds and trees and people and whatever. And on the right, we can put anything that wasn't made, Almighty God. So we've got a thick line down the middle and trees and plants and birds or whatever and people. And on the right, we've got Almighty God. And then we got this real big problem that the world has still got. This Jesus, where are you going to put him? Which side are you going to put him on? There's the line down the middle. All things that were made, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. Where are you going to put him? Well, you can't put him with all the trees and the birds then, because he's the one who made all those things. He's got to go that side. If it was made, he made it. So what do we say? Well, he's God. He's not a God, as some would try and have us believe. He's not an angel. He's not a souped-up human being. He's not Superman. He's God. He's not simply the best man who ever lived. He's not simply a miracle worker, a great teacher. He is God. Now, let me try and punch this home. Let me take a minute to teach you what is utterly baffling to the human mind. And yet, for the Christian, absolutely terrific. In the 70s, some of you old, there's not many old ones, but we'll remember in the 70s, there was a hit TV program starring Lee Majors as Steve Austin. Starts off with he's in this horrific accident, and there's his mangled body, and the boffins and the surgeons are looking down on him, and one of them says, "Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We can make the first bionic man." Now, Jesus was a man, but he wasn't a bionic man. He wasn't like Spider-Man or Incredible Hulk. He was a man as if he wasn't God. And yet, he was simultaneously God as if he wasn't a man. He had two natures. He wasn't two natures mixed. He wasn't a hybrid like Mr. Spock, who was part Vulcan. And I'm embarrassed to even mention Mr. Spock, as if I'd watched Star Trek when I was 18. I'm ashamed. I vote. I watched it. I fancied Lieutenant Uhura, that's why. But there we are. Anyway, so Jesus is not a hybrid. He's not a mixture. Half and half. His manhood was not turbocharged by his godness. His godness was not diluted by his humanity. And so, on Calvary, he suffered as a man, like a man. He wasn't Superman, so he was impervious to pain. No, he suffered like a man. It was horrific. He suffered like a man, except he suffered not for his own sins, but for mine and yours. That's the situation. I heard a preacher, Sid, say that he'd been invited on the radio to... it was an anniversary of the Assumption of Mary, or one of these big Roman Catholic things. And this fellow I know was a Christian. He was invited on as a token evangelical. So there were like five Roman Catholics, and they wanted him on there. And beforehand, the producer kindly rang him and said, "Look now, you're going to be outnumbered. You're the token evangelical. We'll be using the term Mother of God." Now, I understand, I respect where you're coming from. You're obviously going to disagree with that, aren't you? "No," he said, "I'm not. I'm not going to disagree with it at all." Because that title was emphasized in the church, in the early church, to emphasize this, that this Jesus was not a souped up man, but he was God. So now then, the Word became flesh. God took on human form. A virgin gave birth. What for? This is a remarkable thing, isn't it? To redeem us, to buy us back. And there's a payment, there's a cost, a huge cost to buy us back. There's no such thing as a free lunch, they say. Everything costs something. If you're invited somewhere and it's free, somebody paid for it. So who's going to pay for redeeming us back? Well, he pays. Who picks up the bill? He does. Have you ever thought about the price that Jesus Christ paid? to redeem one sinner, let alone the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people he's redeemed? Whoever stopped to ponder the massive quota of evil in just one of your sins. You just think of the army. My father was in the RAF, you know, but you just think of the army on the parade ground. You know, the sergeant major there, he says, attention. If one soldier just says, I don't think I'll bother today, Sarge. Is it a big thing? It's a massive thing. It's a massive thing. If he just stands with his hands in his pockets, you say, oh, come on, that's not a big... It's a massive thing. He's disobeyed an order. It's a command. Have you ever thought, pondered, the sheer quantity of evil in one disobeying of God's command? And yet it's not one with you or me, is it? It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in our lifetime. I was in McDonald's the other day, and Sky News is there. And I can only see the scenes and read the little subtitle things at the bottom. And there were these peaceful protesters in Hong Kong, just standing there with their placards, not doing any violence. And then these organized thugs wade into them. And there's one poor individual as the protesters are trying to run. One is hit over. And these thugs just wade in with boots and batons and steel pipes on this one person, you know. And immediately I was just thinking of Jesus on the cross. All that he suffered there. Hell. The anger of God the Father. And every bit of it was for my selfishness, for my sin, for my pettiness, for my me obsession. You know, sometimes when somebody offers to do us an act of kindness, we sometimes say, oh, don't put yourself out, do we? Don't go to any trouble, do we? Have we ever just stopped for a minute to think of the trouble that Jesus went to? Don't put yourself out. He put himself out of heaven, down into the squalor of earth, and then was crucified outside the city wall of Jerusalem. Don't put yourself out. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? None of us. Jesus did all that, and you sit there. What's your response to that? Interesting? Heard it before? Do you see us? Are you in it? Is it your fault that he's there? It was my sin that held him there. Have you come that far? Christ died for the ungodly. There's the best news in the world. He didn't die for people who try their best, because we are absolutely useless. He died for the godless. I praise him for it. Thank him for it. Bless my Lord, all my soul. Now, where are you in this? It's the best news ever, this is, man. Is it? Amen. Well, are we going to sing?